Kia ora whānau, can you guys hear me?
Sweet.
My name is Wilson, and I have the honour and privilege to journey with young people from our church. And yeah, it's such a blessing. Kind of this week, we just got back from a camp called Extend, and it's been pretty sweet. And I got a bit of a cough, which isn't too bad, because normally from camps, as you guys know, I come back with a dislocated shoulder. So I'll take the cough any day. So if I cough, please forgive me. Yep, it is true. Extend, it's a very cool camp, and I would love to invite some young people to come up and share what it's done for them, or the experience at Extend. So yeah.
Hi guys, I'm Lavar. I went to Extend like thinking it's like another camp, but it isn't. It's like heart changing, and I'm glad that Dale and Wilson took me there. I appreciate it. I had an amazing time there. I felt God's touch on Thursday, Wednesday night, and he told me that I should get baptized at this church. Baptism to me is where I can have a new life, start clean, feel fresh, and leave the bad past behind that I had. And I'm glad that God saved me.
Morning. Thank Wilson and Dale for taking us. And thank the church for the opportunity. I learned how to become a better Christian. And oh yeah, thank you.
Hey guys, I'm Leo. I wasn't really planning to go Extend at first because when I heard about the $140 fee, I was like, oh, I have no money, sorry, can't come. But then Wilson's like, oh, it's all good to just come along and you don't have to pay for anything. I was like, sweet. So yeah, I came to Extend looking for some answers from God to some of my life questions. And for the first few days, I was like, oh God, when are you going to answer my questions? I'm feeling so low. And then the following days, all of those were answered, and I was like, oh, thank you for bringing me here. So I'm really like proud for going Extend. Thank you, Dale. Thank you, Wilson, for bringing me there. And yeah, it's just really life-changing. I can feel my relationship with God improving. And it will continue to improve after camp. Thank you.
Yeah, like I said, it's a very honor and privilege to walk with these boys, eh? And yeah, they're just amazing young men, you know, and I believe, you know, that one day they're going to lead the church, so I'm very proud of them. And Extend is a very, very good camp. 6 years ago, I got saved at the camp, so it holds very high meaning to me. Every time I go back, I always put a flagpole down and just see my journey that I've traveled with God. And yeah, like I love hearing the stories, especially from Extend, and I love hearing their story and what it meant, what Extend meant for them. And today, we're going to look at a passage in Mark chapter 5, verses 21 to 34. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you can ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." So let's pray. Our Father God, we just thank you for this day, even though it's cold, that the sun is still shining. Lord, we just thank you for your story, Lord, your story of how you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to this earth. Your story of teaching us how to love. And Lord, as we just go through the scriptures today, Lord, I just pray that we have open minds and open hearts. And Lord, just teach us how to love, you know, the way you love. Teach us to be better disciples. And thank you for intervening in our own personal stories. Thank you for the cross, so that we can have life in abundance. Amen. All right, this is a passage that I love. This is like one of my favorite passages in the Bible. So the scenario is that, you know, Jesus... Oh, should I stand straight? Okay, I'll do that too. Should I move the mic up? Or? Is that better? Yeah, sweet. Yeah, the scenario is that, you know, Jesus crosses the lake, and large crowds, they're gathered there for the return of Jesus. I mean, people are talking about this Jesus guy, you know, this Jesus character. You know, there would have been other people on the boat who witnessed Jesus calm the storm. And there would have been people in other boats that were in the storm and witnessed that the storm was calmed. And then now all of these large crowds, they're gathering to figure out, you know, who is Jesus? Like, he can calm the storm. Is there more to who he is? And it's kind of a bit like us, you know, we're curious creatures, us humans. I mean, when we see a car crash, we literally slow down just to figure out what happened. You know, that is who we are. That is our nature. And just as Jesus lands, you know, the crowd just gathers around. It's massive. There's hundreds of people. And then out of the crowd, there's a man called Jairus. You know, this man, he's a man of prestige, influence, and mana. He's the leader of the synagogue, and he approaches Jesus and falls at his feet, pleading, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and lived." You know, this man is a man of prestige, as we talked about. Influence. He's the leader of a synagogue, you know, pleading earnestly with Jesus. Jesus being the loving God he is, Jesus decides to follow Jairus. And as they rush to his house, because his daughter is dying. And as they're rushing, the large crowds decide to follow, you know, to check out what's going to happen next. And among the large crowd, there is a woman. Not just any woman. This woman, she's been suffering under a physical condition. She's been bleeding for 12 years. This is a woman issue, for people who don't know. You know, some of us guys, we probably would not understand. And within the Jewish culture, a woman going through a period was deemed unclean. This was part of the big Jewish culture, because they had this obsession of being clean. And they had laws against this as well. In Leviticus 15:25-27, it says, when a woman has a discharge of blood for many days at a time other than her monthly period, or has a discharge and continued beyond a period, she will be deemed unclean. as long as she has the discharge, just as in the days of her period. So this was a very big issue for Jewish people. So this woman, she was deemed unclean, meaning that anything she touched would be unclean too. And literally back in those days, women who would go through their cycle, they literally had to go outside of the city and wait till their cycle was complete. Then they could re-enter the city. Otherwise, they would violate the city. This was the culture back then. And now imagine this woman in her situation. You know, imagine being deemed unclean for 12 years. I have worked with young women before, and they tell me that during their time of period, they just feel yuck. That's the only word that they can describe themselves, that they just feel yuck. Imagine feeling yuck within yourself for 12 years. Imagine knowing that anything you touched, anything you did, you would defile it and deem it unclean. Imagine not being able to take part in family events or your traditional events because you were unclean. And you weren't allowed even to step in the temple because you would defile the temple. Imagine how the whole community would have treated you. I mean, they would have known of your condition, and they would have known your history. They would have known that you were unclean. People would have stayed away from you because you would have made them unclean. Imagine how lonely you would have felt. And as we have read in the scriptures, you know, this woman, she did try to get help. She went to see many doctors. You know, not just one, but she's seen so many. And they could not heal her. She spent all her money, her life savings. You know, this is how desperate she was trying to get better. So it wasn't like she was doing nothing. And instead of getting better, she actually got worse. And back then, there was no modern technology, no modern medicines to help cure this woman. And it wasn't just physical pain that this woman felt. It was an emotional pain as well. Imagine being told that you were unclean for 12 years. That is a long time. Now this woman, she must have heard about Jesus and his power. So she goes, you know, with the crowd and sees this Jesus person out. And she must have actually put on extra clothes and covered up her face so that her community would not have recognized her. She wouldn't even dare ask Jesus for a miracle because of the stigma she has. And because of who she is, she knew that she is unclean and that her physical contact would have defiled everything she touched. But she heard about Jesus' power and all the miracles that he has done. And she's desperate to be healed. And in the crowd, she sees Jesus rushing away to Jairus' daughter. And she follows. And she's pushing onto the crowd. And she thought to herself, you know, if this guy is who he is, if I can only just touch his clothes, I will be healed. You know, like I said, you know, there's many people, you know, this would have required a great effort just to reach out and touch Jesus' clothes because there's everyone around you. So she covers up her face, sneaks up behind Jesus, reaches out her hand, extends her fingers, and touches Jesus' garment. And immediately, she was healed. In some versions, it says that immediately she felt the blood dry up. She turns around, being shocked that she is healed, and begins to walk the other way. And right now, I like to point out in this story, in this passage, that there are two healings that take place. I believe she got healed twice from her suffering as we continue to read on the scriptures. The first one, as we can read, you know, as we've gone up so far, is that she got physically healed from her physical condition. And the second one kind of goes like this. Once Jesus realized that the power had gone from him, Jesus, you know, being the God he is, the God of all knowing, already knew what had happened. Jesus stops and asks, "Who touched my clothes?" You know, Jesus was amongst a big crowd, and he was rushing to save Jairus' daughter, an important man's daughter, from dying. And of course, being the disciples, they thought this was a stupid question. They replied, "You see the people crowding against you, and yet you ask, 'Who touched you?'" But Jesus was persistent, and he kept looking around to see who had done it, or to wait for the person to own up. And by now, when Jesus would have been shouting, "Who touched me? Who touched me?" the crowd would have slowly parted away. And the woman would have known that Jesus was talking about her. You know, she would have froze and thought to herself, "You know what? I am unclean. I must have made Jesus unclean." She must have wondered, you know, what would he do? You know, would he restore, would he curse her? Would he ostracize her? You know, these were the thoughts in her mind. And the question is, you know, why did Jesus make her go through this? You know, he already knew who she was. You know, was it to embarrass her before other people? But being the loving God he is, that wasn't his purpose at all. You know, Jesus knew the pain that she had. Not just the physical, but the pain on the inside. You know, I believe, you know, Jesus, he doesn't want to just heal our physical selves. He wants to heal the stuff in here. You know, our dignity, our character, our identity. These are the things that Jesus wants to heal. And you know that Jesus does not like unfinished business, like what Mick talked about a few weeks ago. And Jesus knew that there was some unfinished business left. Jesus knew that darkness was still within her, and suffering still had a grip of her. You know, darkness and suffering had a grip on her identity. Jesus wanted the darkness to come into light. Because when darkness comes into light, darkness loses its power. And as we continue on the story, the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. She told him the whole truth. What is the whole truth? The whole truth is her whole story. She would have shared her story with the same crowd. She would have shared about the pain, the suffering, the loneliness she felt. She would have given her testimony. She would have poured out her sad and miserable life story. And as she finishes the story, she is healed. She is healed because her pain and suffering came open into the light. Instead of pain and suffering having power over her, she lets faith, hope, and love in herself to share her story. Because when you let faith, hope, and love to share your story, faith, hope, and love actually restores and heals your identity, heals your dignity. It starts to heal your character. And in extent, when some people in my small group shared their stories on the big stage, afterwards, I would ask them how they felt. And some of the replies were, "Wilson, I just feel free." And another person said, "I feel like a weight has been lifted off my shoulders." And I'm sure every single one of you guys here knows what this feeling feels like. Because I know that the first time I shared my story, the first time I shared my testimony, I felt free. You know, it's hard to describe this feeling, but I did feel free. And this is the power of what telling your story does. It brings freedom. It brings hope. It gives faith. It's love. But the power of the story doesn't just end there. In Isaiah 11 verse 6, it says that the wolf will live with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and the little child will lead them. You know, this is what the kingdom of God looks like, where the wolf and the lamb live together, where the victimizer and the victim live together. You know, where love restores everything. You know, the kingdom of God it is not exclusive for everyone. For everyone. It's inclusive for everyone. It's not exclusive for anyone. And imagine, you know, you being in that crowd, you being in that community, and you just heard this woman's life story. You just heard about her pain and suffering. You know, something deep within you starts realizing that the condition of your community, it isn't healthy. You start to realize what you've done to this woman. You start to realize that the pain and suffering caused is from your community. Not only does the woman get healed, another healing happens as well. You know, the community begins a process of healing. The community starts to look for new ways that won't cause pain. A community that begins to love people no matter what condition they have. I believe this is the kingdom that Jesus is talking about and calls us to live. Our God is a loving God. God loves everyone where they're at. But our God is so passionate for us that he wants to restore us with this love. He wants to restore this world with this love. And as we continue on the story, you know, the woman assumes that she's going to be ostracized and put to shame. And after telling her story, Jesus said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." Daughter, meaning that she is no longer unclean, but clean. Daughter, meaning that she belonged with all the other people who believed in Jesus. Daughter, meaning that Jesus cares about her and that she is worth the time. You know, Jesus restores her to her full social integrity and acceptability in the community. You know, what an amazing story. What an amazing God. I love the story because there's so much to take out of it. Like, I normally go to youth worker workshops, and this would be my devotion, because this is very important for young people and as youth workers to talk about. It has so much tools and techniques that youth workers can draw out of this passage. But I want to tell you guys, you know, that today we're going to concentrate on the power of the story. You know, everyone here has a story. We have all lived life differently. We have all faced pain differently. You know, stories are your identity. They are your character. You know, and these things are shaped and molded by Jesus. Stories are powerful. Your story is powerful. Your own personal story is powerful. Like I said, within this passage, two healings take place. The first one, you know, the woman gets healed from her bleeding. And honestly, I can't do this. I don't have the power. Maybe I don't have enough faith, but literally, I can't heal a person's physical condition. But the second one, the woman gets to share her story and gets restored within the community. As a Christian, as a human, I can give the space for someone to take part in this healing. I can listen to someone's story, and also I can share my own story. And maybe, you know, this week, maybe, you know, it's what you have to do this week is just to go out and listen to other people's story. You know, your families, your friends, your workmates, your schoolmates, and the people you associate with. Because too, you know, I believe that sometimes we assume someone's story, you know, just like the communion passage, we just assume so much about them. You know, why not this week? Let them speak the whole truth. Give them the space and the chance to speak the truth. It is as simple as asking, where were you born? Where do you call home? What was your childhood like? What did your teenage years look like? How did you end up where you are today? You know, what are your dreams? What are your fears? When you listen to someone's story, listening itself shows that you genuinely care about them, that you genuinely respect and honor the relationship you have with them. You know, Jesus was in a rush, you know, trying to get to this important man's house. You know, he could have easily denied this woman, but instead he stayed and listen to this woman's story. Meaning that, you know, he's a God that genuinely loves and cares for an individual. Maybe this week this is something that we can do, or where God is prompting us to do to the people around us. Or maybe this week you have to share your story with someone. Maybe the darkness in your story needs to come out to the open and light. And trust me, darkness kills you in the inside. When you share your pain and darkness, you can trust me on this part as well, that the darkness and power, our darkness and pain, they have no more power over you. Yes, it is scary to be vulnerable to share your story. But trust me, sharing your story will free you from your suffering, because this allows you to have faith in yourself and to give yourself hope for a brighter day. My God died on the cross so that we'll be free of suffering. But it is up to you to accept this and free yourself, just like the woman did in her story. And honestly, you just don't know how much the power of a story has until you've truly experienced this. You know, stories, they free souls. Stories free pain. Stories free suffering. There's a quote, there is no greater agony than bearing an untold story inside you. Like I said, I just came back from Extend, and hearing many testimonies that were shared, you know, I believe they freed so many souls. They brought healing, understanding, and hope, both for the listener and the storyteller. Sorry, my cough's playing up. And trust me, you know, stories, they heal both sides. One recent story that has brought me to forgive myself was one that was at Queen's birthday weekend. It was at the Baptist Youth Ministries training. And there was a lady on stage, and she shared a story of her father getting beaten up by gangsters. Beaten up so badly that he was in hospital for 3 days. And this story, it reminded me of myself. You know, the guy that I used to be. The guy who used to love violence. The guy who would just smash people like that. You know, I was so angry at myself that I broke down in tears because I realized the pain and suffering that I've caused to other people. You know, I began being disgusted with myself. I even ran out of the service that night, and my friend Damo comforted me. And I just kept on crying because I started to realize how much the pain and suffering I've caused other people. And then finally, Damo goes up to me, he goes, "Wilson, you need to go to that lady and ask for forgiveness. You need to apologize to that lady." And that night, both the victim and the victimizer both got healed, because it was the first time she heard someone say sorry to her for something like that. Like I said, you never know the power of the story. You know, go out this week, listen to stories, share your stories. Our stories are powerful because our stories are about a God who loves us and redeems us and restores us. So yeah.